came to our theater and showed a film.
Bill Murray didn't come to our theater, but Bill Murray should have been at our theater because Bill Murray has been to the theater before, and Bill Murray does some funny things when Bill Murray comes to this theater.
Would you be surprised if Bill Murray had popped up behind you and said, "Hi, I'm Bill Murray. Are you enjoying my Bill Murray film?"
That would have seemed very Bill Murray.
It would have seemed very Bill Murray.
Hi, guys. I guess that means we're covering St. Vincent. Is
we
that
are.
What that means? Okay.
We are covering
we are,
that.
My son.
I am Chris.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Michael.
And we are talking about the latest comedy drama film written and directed by Theodore Melfi, which is a feature film debut for him. Bill Murray is, of course, the titular St. Vincent, or just Vincent. Thank you, spoiler movie poster title. also stars Melissa McCarthy, a cute little role by Chris O'Dowd, and Naomi Watts.
It's funny. We just talked about Birdman, and JC mentioned that Naomi Watts isn't doing enough
kept my mouth
recently,
shut.
And I'm like, she literally is in two of the movies we're reviewing this week. Right?
I kept my mouth shut. I felt like Naomi Watts killed it in this movie.
Yeah, she's like a Russian hooker.
She's a Russian pregnant
Eastern European.
Okay, fair enough.
Russian pregnant stripper slash prostitute.
It's like, fuck you, Michael. I don't care. It's Russian. Your mama bore you near Russia. You're Russian.
I know there's a lot more countries that we could break down our actual nationality, but I think we should be Russian through this.
And to be fair to Brian, the rate that Russia is again annexing
that's
other countries
true.
Again.
It's
then,
probably yeah. going to be Russia it's by the time.
Exactly.
The time this review comes out, people from France will be considered Russians.
That's true. They are in a hurry over there.
That's going to really mess up the salad dressing industry, if nothing else.
But Bill Murray plays drunk. He is.
Yes, and I respect that.
He is a massive. Yeah, he's Brian Salisbury in 30 years. He is a.
Don't say that because I kept thinking that myself watching this movie. It's like, oh, shit.
Oh, God help me. I kept saying, like, this is a warning sent from the other side.
Yeah, it's ironic.
Faxes from the future.
It's yeah. ironic that he was in Scrooge because this felt like my Ghost of Christmas Future. Right.
He is.
It's yet to be.
He's
yet
just a mess true. Of a human being. He lives in a messy house by himself. He has a gambling addiction. Even though he's a war veteran, like usually when he starts talking about it, he just pisses people off. In fact, that's all he manages to do when he talks to people is mm-hmm. piss them off because he's a dick.
If you can imagine this, Bill Murray plays an acerbic, self-absorbed asshole in this movie, which is really outside his wheelhouse, I know.
But. He is Bill Murray from like previous young Bill Murray roles, if nothing in the rest of his life worked out and the people around him died and his life just turned to shit because he never took anything seriously.
If Egon had died and
bitter and old and angry.
Sad. I just made myself sad.
But he's still kind of acerbic and funny.
That's true. That's true. That's very true.
And moving in next door is Melissa McCarthy. Thank God not playing a typically Miss Melissa McCarthy.
Right? Yes, and that's what I liked about her in this movie is that the jokes surrounding her weren't, hey, isn't it hilarious how fat she is? Which is every other movie she's ever been in. And that really pisses me off because it's like...
Doesn't even come up here.
First of all, it's not that funny that she fall down, go boom. Like, that's not funny to me because I'm not 4 years old. And secondly, she's a better actress than that.
Yeah.
If you give her the opportunity, if you give her a better character, if she takes a better role, she ends up doing stuff like this where she really does knock it out of the park.
Well, she moves in as a single mom, just recently separated from her husband who cheated on her with apparently multiple women, with her young son, played by newcomer Jaden Lieberher?
I don't know.
Oliver is the character.
Probably a
name.
Russian.
And she, you know, works at a hospital. She's really busy. They don't have a lot of money. And there's a situation where the son gets home early and she can't be there. And
hijinks ensue.
He knocks on the neighbor's house, says, "Can you take care of me?" Bill Murray's character, Vincent, ends up becoming a reluctant but paid babysitter because, God, he needs the money.
For sure.
For this kid. And you end up with a sort of like about a boy, but where instead of the rich, privileged Hugh, you get the drunken mess,
right.
dangerous Bill.
Yeah. It's about a boy from Flatbush.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, this is the attempt to get that sneak in through the corners for acting awards Oscar period film this year that's not quite a – it's not at a Best Picture level. It's just not there. And I think it knows it's not there.
It may not be at a Best Picture level, but I would neither be surprised nor put off if Murray got – a best actor. Nah.
God,
well,
I hope
he's
does.
Been chasing yeah. one for a while. He's certainly not going to win for this, but it's the attempt to say, I want more lead roles in these types of films.
Well, and it's funny too, because this film goes along for a while with you thinking you know exactly what it is and who his character is. And then it gives some dimension to that character that while is not entirely novel, the way Murray plays it and mm-hmm. the sincerity with which he plays it, mm-hmm. which, again, we're talking about a guy who is widely known for being sarcastic and being kind of standoffish. The sincerity with which he plays the turn for that character, I had tears in my eyes.
I would 100%, 100% agree this movie is driven by Murray's performance.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't like Bill Murray, as generally. I'm not one of those people.
You don't like The Conjuring? You don't like Bill Murray? Come on, what's happening?
What happens if Bill Murray ever plays a ghost?
Dude.
Worst movie of Michael's year.
Don't Ghostbusters 3? Are we already talking about Ghostbusters 3?
I wish we were.
As you know, I'm in my 20s. I see Bill Murray on the internet fucking 3 times a day, and I just don't give a shit.
He's
just
fucking 3 times a day?
Yeah, on the internet, nonetheless.
He's not the act of fucking.
But
there's memes and old pictures of Bill Murray wearing offensive t-shirts and stories about Bill Murray and French fries. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I've never bought in. It's Bill Murray. It's not an open and shut case for me. I've seen Bill Murray and I've liked him. I've seen Bill Murray and I haven't liked him. A lot of people will just, Bill Murray's in it, $10, you know, shut up and take my money. Hmm. I might be
one of those people, honestly.
Yeah, see, I'm
now,
not.
There was a period I wasn't.
I'm not. And even when he was doing the Wes Anderson stuff and doing some really good stuff in those movies, it wasn't until this movie that I was definitively like, okay, no, Bill Murray is actually worthy of the praise. I still won't say that I'm going to go, you know, throw $10. Yeah, I'm not going to buy the t-shirt. I'm not going to, you know, pre-order tickets for the next Bill Murray movie. But I'll shut my mouth when people are going off about how great Bill Murray is. Because, like you said, without Bill Murray, this movie doesn't exist.
No, it's Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, God.
It's a little programmed indie film for Juno. The indie film audience that doesn't really try anything that brave, but has enough really great performances in it that it overwhelms
what's
kind of forgettable about
That's exactly
it.
How I feel is from the indie comedy camp. I was one of the first people who up in Chicago in my circle of friends saw Napoleon Dynamite.
Hmm.
This was before, I mean, tots were a thing. I mean, I had seen it well before it had hit everybody else. And I walked out of the movie and I told all my friends, I'm like, what a stupid movie.
It was cute, but it was a little too obvious what it was doing.
Well, and immediately following, everybody's on board with Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah. All of a sudden, I missed the boat, even though I'd seen it earlier and hated it. And then, you know, so there's that. I didn't like Juno. I don't like Little Miss Sunshine. Indie comedies, I see it coming so far away. And you get John Bryan to do a score with little plinky keyboards. And, you know, you're nuanced and you just try to undersell how powerful the whole movie really is.
Right.
And I just sit there going, you didn't sell it.
Well, indie comedies are what regular comedies were like in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, okay, these were like largely forgettable things that went their way. But everyone's like, yeah, it was good. It was fun. We enjoyed it. The kids liked it. And now they go, no, it's art.
I feel like this is not only one of the quintessential indie comedies, but possibly the forerunner for how good one can be. I mean, I know there are better ones, but
in terms of like the here's the recipe for an indie.
Exactly. Comedy. I mean, you take a basic outline for here's an indie comedy. We have Grumpy Old Man Finds a Kid, Adventures in Babysitting Part 2. And
About a Boy is all I could
Right.
Think
yeah, for sure. And somehow I have to credit performances. Naomi Watts, even Jaden Lieberher. I mean, these performances are what pulled this movie into another level.
And the actual dialogue that was written for those characters,
not to
fault the screenwriters. I'll fault the story and I guess playing it safe to some degree with the story, in the sense of like, okay, we want something that's not going to go too far. We're not going to be too experimental. We want this still to be cute and memorable and what have you, but have that little bit of enough of an edge to be an indie film. But actually writing really clever and funny dialogue for these characters to say and the minor situations in the midst of everything else for them to be in that are very laugh worthy. You know, it's popcorn masquerading as art.
Yes.
But it manages to do that because of the strength of that.
It's like a nice popcorn necklace.
A popcorn necklace, yes.
I once gave a girl a popcorn necklace.
That's not a thing.
Oh, it's not? Okay, no, I'll have to work on that.
I'll tell you later what that is, because I can't see a doctor.
No, you know,
I know when the shells get stuck in your urethra.
Right?
Urethra.
Your urethra. Maybe not my urethra. But no, I think two things. One, yes, this is sort of paint by numbers in its construction as an indie comedy, but what really matters is whether or not it connects with you emotionally, and I think this one did specifically. Agreed. Because
absolutely.
Of Murray's performance.
Sure.
And secondly, I would really like to know who touched Michael inappropriately at that screening of The Man Who Knew Too Little, because I love Bill Murray, and there, with very few exceptions, everything I've ever seen with Bill Murray in, I have either loved or thoroughly enjoyed. And I am one of those people, I will freely admit, who will hear the name Bill Murray, and as long as it's not Sofia Coppola directing, we'll slap down $10 and go see, because I fucking can't stand Sofia Coppola.
I like Bill Murray a lot. I like him as a person. I like the shticks he pulls and the whole, I gotta say, I think it's kind of art, the weird urban legend world he's created around himself and encourages. I do. It's an art in itself.
Sure.
The way he's manipulated, like, the media and the internet to create this mythos of Bill Murray. Hats off to you, man. And he just shows up at people's parties out of nowhere and stuff. You're like, dude, I was there at South by Southwest when he showed up at the bar, got behind the bar, said, do you mind if I bartend with you? And just start bartending. I got a drink from him. Okay. That's awesome. Who else would have done that? Hats off. As a, you know, I had no problem with the media stuff because that's actually real. But you're right. It's kind of like he's been playing these supporting roles for a while. And you're like, where is the role where it's living up these days to what the whole I'll See Him in Anything is? And this is indeed, in many ways, performance-wise, that one you've been waiting for to see. Wow, this is a powerhouse leading performance from Murray. It really is good. It really does drive this film enough that, yes, it is emotionally touching. Even if you see every single beat in it coming,
it
doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You're still going to well up at the
I have never been one to hold solely against a movie. Well, it's been done before.
Sure.
It's for me, it's like, there are plenty of movies. If you watch action movies in the 80s, if you like action movies from the 80s, a lot of them just copy each other.
Oh, yeah.
If you really sit down and look at the construction, apart from something like Die Hard, and then Die Hard, every movie copied Die Hard.
And they literally would call media-wise, they would sell it as it's Die Hard on a film.
Exactly. But to me, it's like, it may be, you know, conceit-wise, something you've seen before. It may have a lot of the beats you've seen before, but if there's anything that gives the movie its own identity, then it's worthwhile. And I think with this movie, again, yes, it's very much like every, you know, indie comedy you've seen before. It even tells you in the title what's going to happen at the end, but I can't fault this movie by saying, oh, it's nothing I haven't seen before, because that's not true. I haven't seen Murray do this performance in those other films.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the only difference is that, like, between you and what we're saying is that, like, you move past the criticisms we do have in relation to the similarities much faster and much easier than
because of the performance.
Whereas we all agree that the performances really are good to that level that you can't help but recommend this film anyway.
Totally.
Let's go to final thoughts and Michael.
I was surprised to see Bill Murray in a movie that actually lived up to Bill Murray. Capital Bill Murray. And I don't think he was the only one performing well. I think that, like I said, I think that Naomi Watts and Melissa McCarthy and Jaden Lieberher, the little kid, they're not easy roles to play off of. It's difficult to be a believable group of people who still hang around such a hateable character. Mm. And that's a difficult thing to play, is a character who has very few redeeming qualities that people still want to watch.
He's an Archie Bunker.
Right, totally. And it has all of the components of a shitty indie comedy. It has every single one. But what that proves to me is that those aren't necessarily failures, that the genre itself isn't necessarily wrong by design, that there are ways to take a formula, a tired formula, and go and breathe life into it and go, this is a film that you should see. This is a film that has things about it worth your time. It's an emotional film in ways that those other movies tout something like Little Miss Sunshine touts an emotional finale, but this movie gets it. I mean, this if you're not moved by the end of this film, you probably fell asleep. So that said, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 Terrence Howard bookies.
That's right. Terrence Howard had a small appearance in this as well. I have to credit Naomi Watts for giving one of the funniest performances of her career. I mean, is this pregnant Russian hooker?
Since Tank Girl.
She is a riot. Oh, my God. She totally was Jet Girl.
Funny story. I don't know that she's done a comedy since then. Does Huckabees count? I don't know that it does.
Eastern
Huckabees
Promises counts. Was kind of funny.
I'm the guy who absolutely loves I Heart Huckabees. And
you know how I feel about I Heart Huckabees? Is I feel like I'm having a date with a beautiful woman who doesn't speak my language. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but I love looking at you.
Same with Vanilla Sky.
There you go.
See, I'd seen the original Vanilla Sky first, the Abre Los Ojos, and I fell madly in love with it. So when I saw Vanilla Sky, I was like, wow, this is nowhere near as good. And so I'm just mad the whole time. I mean, I think we're more or less all on the same page here. Bill Murray is aware, whereas I still don't think this is going to be the biggest role, the best role that he does. I think this is the role that's going to get him cast in the role he actually wants, in the stuff he's looking for. Because you look at his recent history in films, he is looking for that. He wants that. He wants an Oscar on his shelf. And God damn it, if he doesn't deserve it, it's just the type of actor he is so hard to find the exact right film for him for that type of role. This is the exact right film for him. This is the right type of role, but it's just not quite good enough of a film in and of itself, or I would rather say original enough of a film to deserve that. What you said about, you know, the idea of like, yes, there's formula, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad movie. That's absolutely true. There's tons of films that are formula, but they're great films because everything else around it is great. Yeah, you know basically what's going to happen, but if you're enjoying yourself the whole time because it's got a snappy script and great performances and like it just moves quickly and it's filmed well, then who gives a fuck if it's like a little bit formula there? Yes, the best films of any given year are usually those that avoid those tropes and try and do something new, but hey, it is actually impossible for every movie to be that. I still really enjoyed this. Maybe not quite as much as you guys did. But I did actually well up at the end. It was like, it's funny, like at the halfway point, I was like, I like this and I'm loving Bill Murray and everybody in it, but I'm actually getting mildly bored waiting for it to get to the next point I know it's going to get to, which it did. But then, you know, that last 15 minutes, I was like, oh. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 stars in heaven placed there to honor Bill Murray.
You took a firmament stand on that.
God, I love you, Brian.
Sounds right? Great. Shakespearean again. I think I've pretty much said everything already, but I'll just kind of reiterate. Like, this movie has a lot of... It doesn't even really turn. It just kind of gradually bends as far as like the story goes, and you're going to kind of go along with it as it comfortably goes from plot point to plot point that you will probably predict from square one. But none of that really matters because, you know, much like you go into Bill Murray's character's house here, and it's like you're sifting through the ruins of a life, and you're realizing how a person can start their life one way and end up completely broken and completely self-absorbed and bitter about everything. And it's almost like somewhere there's an apartment full of Bill Murray's memories like this that are just scattered about with old pastrami sandwiches.
Somebody let Michel Gondry make that movie, and I will watch it.
And tins of cat food. Like, somewhere there's a house that explains exactly why Bill Murray is the way he is. And I felt like at least the opening of this film was almost Bill Murray embracing how he got to where he is right now and what makes him who he is. Like, there was a certain amount of it that even if it's completely bullshit, felt autobiographical, which I enjoyed about it. And even the cloying moments really worked for me. So overall, I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 meatballs, which is still one of my favorite Bill Murray movies.
Really?
Meatballs. Hell yeah.
What's the best Bill Murray movie?
Oh, come on. The best Bill Murray movie?
Yeah. Harder than you thought, isn't it?
The best Bill Murray movie is probably Groundhog Day. Like, yeah, if we're talking about the best Bill Murray movie.
Bill Murray.
Ghostbusters obviously is amazing, but the best Bill Murray movie, in my opinion, is still Groundhog Day.
Three-way tie between that, Ghostbusters, and Rushmore.
See, yeah, I got Rushmore. I'm on the Rushmore boat here.
Yeah.
See, I'm off the Rush. See, we just can't get on the same page about anything. Arr.
You die now, Brian.
I'm going to go have a drink. Or 12.
You've been drinking.
Oh, shit, you're right.